Well, good morning, church. It's wonderful to be back here again. And as Joe said, my wife and I have some history in this church. my wife, Mary, got baptized in the Holy Spirit right there. Pastor Sheridan prayed for her, and she got filled with the Holy Spirit right there. And we were missionaries overseas for several years. And when we came back, in between saying, what's next for us, God? We were in prayer at, I was actually at Allison Park, and I was at the altar, and I was praying. I said, God, I don't know what you have next for me, but I'll do whatever you want me to do. And we left the service, went home, and the phone was ringing, and I didn't even think I'd get to it in time. Got there, and it was Pastor John Holt saying, we've been praying, and God laid your name on our heart. And so we came on here on staff. I think that was probably around 88, something around there, 87, and was a kind of an outreach pastor. That was my office right there. I think it's a junk room right now, but that was my office. And then the vision that Bethel had was to pioneer a church over in Lawrenceville. And so my wife and I and some people from Bethel went over there and pioneered a church. And they just recently celebrated, I think, their 25th not too long ago. And so that church is doing well over there. And a little more history is my first born-again Pentecostal service that I went to after I got saved. I got saved in 1975, was at Bethel. But it wasn't here. It wasn't in this building. I was invited by a church member, say, where are you going on Sunday? I just got saved and didn't have a church yet. The person said, where are you going on Sunday? I said, I don't know. And they said, why don't you come to our church at Bethel? It was at the YMCA in Bellevue. I don't know if any of you remember that. They were meeting there while this place was being built. So that was my first service was there. And they said, I said, well, I enjoyed that. They said, well, you can't come back there because we're going to be here. And so that was my first service. The second service was in this brand new building here. And so it's exciting to hear you're going to be celebrating your 50th anniversary. That's exciting news. And we're, Mary and I will try to be here for that because this is home to us. Pittsburgh's home. Born and raised in Pittsburgh. We still live in the north side. I mean, we could walk here. That's how close we're in Brighton Heights. So this, not only this home living, but feel real at home here at Bethel. So it's great to be here this morning. And how many of you know that God uses your story? We all have stories. A matter of fact, the Bible is full of men and women's powerful stories as they journey with God. And I'll just give you some examples. You have Adam. We know the story of Adam and Eve. It didn't start out too good, but that's their story. We have the story of Noah. We have the story of Abraham. We have the story of Moses and David, and that's all Old Testament. Then you have the stories of the disciples of Christ. The blind man is healed, the demoniac who's delivered, Zacchaeus up in his tree and gets invited to dinner. I always thought that was funny that Jesus invited himself to that dinner. If you catch that story, he said, today, Zacchaeus, I'm going to eat dinner with you. But that's the story of Zacchaeus. And, of course, you have the story of Paul. And so God uses stories. He uses journeys. He uses your journey, my journey. And so we're going to pray here in a second, but I want to share a journey with you and let it speak to your heart. So could we just pray? So Lord, I would just give you this service. I thank you for the wonderful worship, God, that draws us to you. And all the glory does belong to you, God. Every good and perfect gift is from above, come down from the Father of lights. Lord, if there is any successes in our life, or my life. It came from you. If there's any, Lord, blessings in our life, it came from you. Our children came from you. Our job came from you. Our talents came from you. Our breath and our lungs came from you. So, Lord, you do deserve the glory. And so, Lord, I just ask as I speak your word that, Holy Spirit, you would use it and you'd grab hearts. My heart, even as I speak, you'd grab our hearts and draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I love how Jesus taught. Most of the time, Jesus taught in parables. He would be walking along and he'd see something, and whether it was an animal, sheep, or he would use that as an example, or some plant growing in a field, he'd use that as an example. He'd use the birds of the air. He was always using examples, and they would call parables to teach us things. And as I said, our life has a story to tell about Jesus. And when I got saved in 1975. I had been in the military, got home, got saved, and God began to put a call on my life for ministry. And so I prepared for ministry, and I went to a Bible college in Missouri called Central Bible College. That's where I went to study for ministry. Later on, my wife came down. We got married, and so we did ministry together. But that's where I went to Bible college, in Springfield, Missouri. Now, I told you already, I grew up here in Pittsburgh. I'm a Pittsburgher, born and raised. My father was a Pittsburgher. My grandfather was a Pittsburgher. All Northsiders, still on the North Side. I guess if you're born on the North Side, you'll die on the North Side. I'm here, okay? So this is home. But I always had a fascination as a young boy with caves. You know, you'd see that things on the TV, you know, people going in caves, and Lassie, little Timmy was always lost in a cave, and Lassie had to save him, you know. So, but I had this thing about caves, but there are no caves here. Plenty of mines, coal mines, right? But I was warned by my parents, never go in a coal mine. Don't go in a coal mine. You'll die in a coal mine, you know. So, but I had this fascination with caves. So here I am in Bible college in Missouri. There are caves everywhere. They feel that when the glaciers ended, the glaciers that went in North America, they ended in Missouri before they started to melt again and retracted back. So that place is littered with holes in the ground. And so here I am in Bible college, but on the weekend, I'm like, I can go caving. Or spelunking, but I don't want to sound too, you know, intelligent here. We'll just call it caving, okay? And so I knew nothing about caving, except I wanted to go in there. But I had to learn something about it. And so I met some people who had done it before, and they said, okay, before you're going to cave, I got to give you some instruction here. And they said, you need three forms of light. Because you don't want to get in a cave, and let me tell you, if you've ever been in a cave or ever been in a dark room, the darkest room in your house is not anything compared to how dark it is in a cave. I mean, when you're deep in there, you cannot see your hand. I mean, that is black can be. So they said, when you get in there, you don't want your light to fail, so you need to take three forms of light. So I brought this up here. This is my caving lamp. And so they have these pellets in here called calcium carbide, and you put some water in here, it drips on it, causes a gas that shoots out there. You use a little lighter here, and it lights. It's great. Light's good. But what happens when the pellets run out? It stops making gas. The light goes out. You don't know how long you're going to be in that cave. You could be a mile back. All of a sudden, this is failing, so you need another form of light. So you took a flashlight with you, and you looked around the flashlight. But we know about flashlights, what? Batteries, what? They wear out. So what happens when your lamp goes out, your flashlight goes out? You got to have a third form. I had a candle with waterproof matches. You'd light that and you'd say, well, I better start getting out of here now. Because it's a dark place in that cave with no light. How many of you know this world is a dark place? It is a dark, confusing, scary place. We need light. There's a portion of scripture, I'll read it with you. It's in John 8:12. It says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. See, this is a dark, evil, confusing world. Sometimes darker than a cave. And we need some light. So if I was told in the simple caving, you know, scenarios that I needed extra sources of light so I didn't get lost in the dark, I think it applies. Like I said, our stories, Jesus used parables. Well, here's a parable for you. You need some light, folks. You need some sources of light. And to me, the first source of light is the Word of God. I hope you have a Bible. I hope you read your Bible. I hope you obey what it says in the Bible, because that is light. Jesus said, I've given you the light that you wouldn't walk in darkness. Because the world out there is telling us all sorts of things. They say, this is okay, and this will be good for you, and it will kill you. I need light. And so I need the Word of God. I'll tell you another source of light. Right here where you're sitting right now in church, you need the body of Christ. You need people in your life that love God. You need to surround yourself with godly men and women, examples. Those old saints who walked a walk for years and years, have gone through problems that you are maybe just starting to go through or haven't gone through yet. You need the body of Christ around. That's light. Hearing the Word of God preached to you. Hearing songs that glorify and lift up Christ. Having people pray with you. You know, that's light. But let me tell you this. There are times, even when I had my lamp, but those pellets ran out. I had my flashlight, but how many of you have turned that flashlight? Why is this flashlight not working? And my candle, it got so wet, because it's wet in a cave, it wouldn't light. And I'm out of light. What do I do? It's pitch black. I have no candle. I have no lantern. I have no flashlight. And I'm deep in a cave that I had to wind back and forth. Can't, in my memory, remember which way to go. And I'm stuck. What do you do? Well, an old timer who taught me about caving said, this is what you do. You get real quiet. Real quiet. And you listen. And you'll feel it. You'll feel this breeze, this gentle breeze. That's the way to go. And you find your way out. You know that one reminds me of? It reminds me of the story of Elijah. Elijah has this big battle with the prophets of Baal. Calls down fire on the altar. Slays all the false prophets. The Queen Jezebel, she doesn't like that, does she? She says, I'm going to kill you. Chases him. He's in a cave. He's in a cave. And he's in there pouting. He said, no one loves you. Matter of fact, I'm the only one left. There's no godly believers anymore. They've all abandoned you. It's just me alone in this cave. And all of a sudden, there's an earthquake. But God wasn't in the earthquake, was he? There was a great wind and thunderstorm. But the word says that God wasn't in the thunderstorm. But then there was what? A still, small voice. You in a dark place right now? The sermon doesn't seem to be doing it for you. You're flipping through the Bible and it's just not making sense. Get quiet. Get quiet. And he will speak to you like a gentle wind. And he'll lead you out of the dark place. Like I said, the Bible is full of stories of people. Jesus loved to tell parables using objects. And so let me give you some further caving experience, okay? You never go caving alone. Never. When I was told, when you go caving, you go to someone who's not going caving, because I did this with my wife. I'd say, Mary, I'm going caving today. This is the road I'm going to go down. There's a field. Halfway in the field, there's a cave. I'm going in there. I'm going to go in around 1 o'clock. If I'm not out by 4 o'clock, come and get me. Because I'm probably in trouble, okay? That was the rule. You never went anywhere in a cave by yourself. You let someone know where you're going. That is why we have church, folks. That's one of the reasons. It's called accountability. There's no lone rangers in the kingdom of God. Lone rangers get killed. That's why it's important. I don't know, because I'm just visiting here. I don't know if this is your church. You're just visiting, but I'm going to tell you, if you are a born-again believer, if you are a Christian, you need a church. See, I don't have any axe to grind. You know, when pastors of a church say, you need to be part of my church, you know, you think, well, that's not really, you know, genuine. You just want us to... I don't have an axe to grind. So let me just tell you this. You need a church. Because life gets dangerous out there. It's hard. And you want someone who knows you and misses you and gives you a call and said, I haven't seen you in church for a couple weeks. How you doing? Well, I haven't been doing good. But see, if you don't belong to anything, when you go through hard times, how do they know to call you? So in the caving world, you always said, you told people where you were so they could come and they could rescue. Let me give you a portion of scripture, Ecclesiastes chapter 4. It says this, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. And I love how verse 10 says it. For if either of them falls, I'm going to tell you, there's times in those caves where you'd be walking along and all of a sudden there'd be a hole in the ground and it'd be 50 foot deep. Whoa! Down there, you break your leg. Thank God I told Mary where I was at, right? So she could come, or someone could come and say, for if either of them falls, one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. I'm going to say, woe to you, woe to me, if I am not part of the body of Christ somewhere. That when I'm going through hard times, they come and lift me up. When I'm absent from church for any length of time, I'm getting a phone call of people saying, how are you doing? So again, I'm not the pastor of Bethel, but I'm saying to you, you better have a church, because everyone falls. Everyone. Everyone goes through jams. Everyone goes through hard times. It's just part of life. And you want someone to care for you. You want a family. Thank God for our biological, natural families. Thank God for them. But I have a spiritual family. And you, every one of us need that spiritual family. So you never go in alone. And also, you'll watch the weather. I was told, Bill, before you go caving, check out the weather. If there is a cloudy day, you don't go caving. If it's threatening to rain, you don't go caving. I'd say, but those caves are big. I've been in caves that were bigger than this room, that were higher than this ceiling. Why should I worry about the weather? Until I learned, I went into a cave that was bigger than this, and I looked up at the ceiling. You know what was stuck in the ceiling? Logs. Logs were stuck up there. So what's that mean? That means that that cave, when it rains, fills with water. It fills with water so much that it pushed any debris up into the ceiling and jammed it in the cracks. And so what's that mean? If I'm caving and I've ignored the weather and I'm way back, you can't hear it raining. But it's raining. I think we in Western PA, Pittsburgh, we know a little bit about rain, right? We've had some hard rain. Well, let me tell you, rain runs downhill. And where does it go? Eventually, it goes in the ground. And what's in the ground? There's caves. And so you could be a mile back, have squirmed through these little holes, and all of a sudden you turn around and you can't get out. And that water is rising and rising and rising until it fills the whole thing. And it's not going to jam a log up there. It's going to jam you up there. So I was taught, always check the weather. Watch the weather. What's the signs of the times, folks? It's going to rain. It's starting to rain. And I need to be alert. And if there's any time I need to come into the shelter of the house of God, is when I look at the signs around me and say, there's a storm coming. Because I don't want to get stuck. Never go alone. Watch the weather. Look at the signs. Listen to those people who have went before you to give you godly guidance. When I was in the military, I was in the Navy, and in boot camp, they had posters everywhere, safety posters. They had this one poster when we would go out do our obstacle course. If you were married or had any jewelry on, you had to take it off, okay? So if you had a wedding ring in the military and you went on the obstacle course, you had to take it off. Well, why do I have to take my wedding ring off to run an obstacle course? Well, they had a poster. And in this poster, they had a finger that had been ripped off a hand. Because some guy did not take off his ring. He climbed up a wall, an obstacle wall, and jumped off like we were supposed to, but it caught his ring and ripped his finger off, tendons and all. I'm going to tell you, they don't baby you in the military. They took a picture of that, and they put it on a poster. And then bottom of the poster, it said this: safety rules are written in blood. Think about that. You know when they usually make a safety rule? After someone's got hurt. It just makes sense, right? Oh, we better make a safety rule. That guy lost his finger. Safety rules are written in blood. There's warnings because someone has got hurt. The signs of the times, folks. That old caver said, Bill, don't go caving when the weather looks bad because you could get stuck in there and drowned. Okay, I'll listen to you. Listen to the old saints. They've been there. They've experienced things you haven't yet experienced. There are lessons, some lessons, too hard for you to learn yourself. I took my ring off. Because safety rules are there to protect me too. Listen to the saints of old, the Word of God. Listen to this old saints of this church. They're trying to guide you and protect you from the storms that are coming and are here even now. Let's move on. Here's one. Don't turn back when it gets hard. Don't turn back when it gets hard. Okay, I'm married. I'm in Bible college. I'm in Missouri. On a weekend, I enjoy going caving because now I can do this thing I always want to do since a little boy. And I want my wife to experience it. And so I take my wife. Let me tell you something about caving. Caving is not this. No, caving is crawling in mud. I one time went in a cave that it was so small that my back was on the ground. I had to squirm like a turtle, and my nose was touching the ceiling. That's how tight it was. So I took my lovely wife to that. And we get in its tight spots. And she still shivers about it. And she wants to turn back. Now, me being a loving, kind husband, said to her, Mary, turning back is not an option. Because you will get in spots in those caves that are so tight, so uncomfortable. Like the one I'm talking about, I'm on my back. I have to squirm like this. My nose is actually touching the ceiling. You want to turn around and go back. Why don't you turn around and go back? I'm going to tell you why. Because someone told you, keep going. But it's tight. It's uncomfortable. It's scary. What if I'm crawling like a worm and it gets smaller and I can't turn around to go back out? What then? I was told there's this one particular passage. It got narrower and narrower. There was a stream of water. So I'm on my belly, crawling. Now it's really tight. I'm in water on my belly. But I was told by someone, don't give up. Because if you will just go a little further, it opens up to this gigantic chamber. It's awesome with stalactites and mites. And you got to see it. But before you get there, it gets really, really hard. And here I am, crawling on my belly in water. It's getting tighter and tighter. And all I have to go for is this guy told me, keep going. I look with my light. I don't see anything. All I see is getting smaller. Then I see a bend. So I can't even see around the bend. I'm like, what if I crawl and go around the bend and it's even tighter and now I can't get out? I'm like a cork. But he said, don't give up. Keep going because you will love what you see when you go around that bend. So I trusted him and I squirmed. It got tighter and scarier. And I got around the bend and it opened up to the most beautiful thing that I still see in my mind. Different colors of stalactite and kind of quartz gems, and it was just beautiful. But I never would have saw it if I turned back. The Christian life is like that. Do you know that? It's like that. Starts out easy. When I got saved, I got delivered from drugs, and now I had friends, and I had purpose in my life, and it was like walking down a big chamber, like no problems. All of a sudden, it got harder, didn't it? Some of your friends didn't like that you became a Christian. Some of your family didn't like you became a Christian. Some of you lost jobs and relationships because you became a Christian. All of a sudden, you had to make stands and things where people were hostile to you, and you had to maybe make choices that made things a little harder for you for the Lord's honor. And all of a sudden, that big wide passageway became narrow. But I was told by the Word of God and by saints of old, no, keep going. Because it opens up in things that are beautiful. But the temptation is to turn back. I had a friend. His name was Mark Trent. Let me look at this scripture with you. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It says, therefore, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let's run with endurance the race set before us. The race called Christianity gets tough. It gets tiring. It gets scary. But we have been told there's something ahead. Sometimes we can't see it. The goodness of God, the mercy of God, the blessing of God, the deliverance of God, ultimately heaven, right? But sometimes it seems so far off and so scary and so narrow that we just want to give up. I got saved in 1975. I don't know how many years is that now. Is that 48 years or something like that I've been a Christian? Some of you older saints out there, you've been saved longer than 48 years. Some of you have been saved shorter than that. But we are closer to heaven than we were before we got saved. We can say that, okay? Well, I had a friend, I grew up here in Pittsburgh. And, you know, walking distance from my house, I lived on Federal Street Extension. Could walk right down. At that time, Federal Street went right to town. It wasn't, you know, the mall wasn't built yet. You just could go straight, one straight shot. But the big thing for inner city kids was swimming in the river. If I had something beat in my head from childhood, is you never swim in a river. You never swim in a river, you know. There's whirlpools in there. You know, I didn't even know what a whirlpool was until I watched a Tarzan theater and saw what a whirlpool was. You know, it's things that could suck you down. I don't think there's whirlpools in there. I think our parents just told us there's whirlpools in there, you know, just like quicksand. I'm fascinated with quicksand. I wish I could see some quicksand, you know, and like Tarzan always fell in the quicksand and he always cried and the elephant brought him out of the quicksand, okay? But there's these whirlpools. Mom would say, don't swim in a river. Don't swim in a river. You'll die in there. You'll drown. There's whirlpools that'll suck you under. So that was beat in my head from childhood. So I'm a teenager. My buddy said, come on, we're going down the river and swim. And I tell him, I'm not allowed. I'm not allowed. They're like, what? I think I was like 14, 15 years old. I said, no, my mom won't let me. They were like, what are you talking about? You know, your mom's not going to see. You know, what are you, some wimp, you know? Come on. And no, but I would hear the haunting voice of my mother saying, don't you swim in that river. You're going to die, you know? So a group of us went down to the Allegheny River near the point. No, and not the point, in between the 6th Street, 7th Street Bridge, that area there. So we're there and at the river. They're jumping in their underwear, of course, right? But I didn't go in because I kept hearing the voice of my mother, you'll die. And somehow I felt that even if I didn't die, my mother would find out and I'd be in trouble because they just knew, you know. So I didn't go in. So I'm sitting on the river edge there, and my buddy Mark is swimming across. So the goal was to swim across to the other side. So I'm watching my friend Mark swim, and he gets halfway, and he starts to struggle, and he says, I don't think I can make it. I'm turning back. And I yelled, are you nuts? You're halfway. Just keep going. It's the same distance. I guess he thought that through. So he kept swimming to get to the other side. Then took the bridge across back. But I never forgot that moment of thinking, you're already halfway. Why turn back? Folks, don't be tempted to turn back. You're halfway there. You've already given your life to Jesus Christ. Some of you have been living for the Lord for 50 plus years. Some of you are shorter than that. Doesn't matter. We're closer to heaven than we've ever been. We don't know if Jesus is coming back tomorrow. Don't give up. Keep swimming. Keep going. In that cave, I want to turn around. Mary, turning back is not an option. Don't turn back. Keep going. Because something up ahead is wonderful. So we all go through times when it's dark. We all go through times when it gets hard. We all go through times where we can't see around the corner. We just want to give up. Folks, have you been in a cave? Let me tell you something. There's more Mott there. There's more of them out there. If you went shoo, man, I'm glad that's over. Well, I'm glad it's over for you too, but there's more coming. I'm not prophesying for you, okay? It's just life. It's life. There's more adventures too. When you look at the men and women old. The ones who really stood up for God, they were adventurous, spirited people. Like an Abraham. Abraham, leave your comfort of your home, leave your family, leave your friends, leave your culture. I'm going to take you somewhere. Where are you going to take me, God? I'll tell you later. He launched out. Moses, I know you got a wife and a business now there in Midian. I know you had trouble back in Egypt, but I have a journey for you to go on. Are you willing to take it and be courageous? And because he did it, Israel was saved. Hey, you guys, buy your nets. How's fishing business? I got a different type of fishing for you. You're going to go fishing for men now. Are you willing to leave your nets and follow me? Hey, you, Saul, seem to hate my people, the church. Are you willing to follow me in a new adventure? See, Cavan's an adventure. They were all different. They were never the same. But you had to be willing to go in. Now, you went in the right way. You had light, told people where you were going, where are the signs of the times, the weather. You know, you didn't give up when it got a little tough. But it took courage. Christianity is not for wimps. It's for adventurers. It's for the bold. It's for the courageous. I've been saved 48 years. It's been great. But understand what I mean by that. I squirmed through some holes. I got through some scary times. There was times I was in the dark. I'm talking in my Christian walk. But man, the adventures I have been on. I've been in 22 different countries. This Northside kid. I've seen the world. I've seen churches started. Wonderful wife. 2 children. 7 grandchildren. All from the glory of God. He gets the credit. He gets it. But you got to be willing, folks, to get in the cave and not give up and not turn back. And I'm going to tell you, I promise you, even when it gets dark, even when it gets scary and you face the unknown, it's awesome being a Christian. It's awesome. It's wonderful. It's fantastic. It's thrilling. And you don't want to miss it by sitting, hiding, scared in a cave. If we could bow our heads. I don't know where everybody's here. You know, like I said, I'm just visiting. I'm one of you, but I'm visiting. You get that? You going through a dark time? Kind of scary? Just seems like your prayer life is just dead, and you read the Bible, and it's not meaning much. And, you know, you haven't had, church, the services are just kind of flat for you. You need to hear that still, small voice saying, I'm still here. I'm still here. Come follow me. Are you scared? Are you worried about the future? Have you're here in church today, but This is not a regular thing for you to be at church. It says the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the earth, seeking those he can be strong for. I think the Lord is saying this morning, anyone want to go caving with me? And I will take you down new roads and new adventures and new journeys. And I will show you things that you thought you'd never see. And I will use you to come out of that cave experience to tell others, come follow me back in. It was awesome. I guess the prayer that I'm wanting to pray for us is, do you want to be bold and courageous? And say, God, I'm halfway home. I want to go all the way for you. Could you just stand if that's what you want from God today? There's a Latin saying that fortune favors the brave. You want to see exciting things? Well, you got to be brave. You want to see victories? You got to be brave. You want to see God use you? Well, you got to be brave. And the first way to be brave is make yourself available. I'm willing to go. Got to be an Abraham. Got to be a Matthew. Got to be a Zacchaeus. Got to be a Paul. Got to be a Peter. Got to be a Mary. Got to be a Ruth. Lord, you see those who are standing. And Lord, if any time the world needed bold Christians, courageous Christians, people that are not going to shirk back, that give up, swim halfway, and then scared, go back the opposite direction, Lord, I just pray that, Father, you would honor them right now as they stand. You would share your light with them. You would speak by your still small voice to them. And God, we look for new adventures, new exploits. But it says that the righteous will do exploits. People of faith will do exploits. Lord, we want to do great and mighty things for you. And Father, I don't care if I'm 70 years old or 80 years old or 90 years old. God, as long as I'm breathing, I'm still swimming. I'm still swimming. And I'm not turning back. One of the scriptures, I didn't get to it, Luke 9:62. No man putting a hand to the plow and looking back is worthy of the kingdom of God. No man swimming halfway across the Allegheny River and wanting to turn back. They should be ashamed. Keep going. You're halfway home. So, Lord, you see us who are standing. You see our hearts. The world needs light. The world needs people to tell people there is a glorious thing around the corner, and it's called Jesus Christ. The world is scared of the storm. There's a rock higher than us that the winds and the waves cannot break down. Lord, make us bold. Lord, help us, Lord, when someone asks, are you a Christian? Say, absolutely. Well, why would you believe that nonsense? Let me tell you, Christ in my life has been awesome. Let me tell you about him. Let me give you a picture of what you're missing without Christ. So, Lord God, you see those that are standing. Lord, we want to be bold. We want to be courageous, And most of all, Dad, Abba Father, we want to be good children. We want you to be proud of us. We want to hear someday, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. So, Lord, thank you for your word and your mercy and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bless you, church. Thank you for having me.
Amen. Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Bill. I don't know about you, but that was a good word. I mean, I've been encouraged and challenged and reminded of things. You know, sometimes as you go through your life, you experience things, and that's a good lesson, and it's sometimes so easy to forget. And looking forward, you can think, Lord, what's going on? I don't understand. I don't get this. But sometimes God just wants you to stop, turn around and look, and just see how faithful he's been and what he's brought you through and what he's going to continue to do. So, Bill, thank you again for that word. And thank you for being here. Again, take advantage of the things we have down the hall here, signing up in the back for the ladies thing, and hope very much to see you guys next week. Amen? Amen. God bless you.